Take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11. Let me say this while you're getting there, chapter number 13, Hebrews chapter number 13, that we'll need some help immediately after the service. We'll need to take this pulpit and put it back over there, but we need to get the other pulpit and place it back up here. Again, if you could help out with that right after the service, we'd appreciate that so very much as the ladies begin to break down this wonderful scene setting here from the ladies' celebration. I can't wait to hear what the theme is next year, amen. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what it's going to be, and it's still a whole nother year away. Give you some little anticipation on what that may or may not be. I told you this morning that I want to bring you a message that I've entitled Entertaining Strangers from Hebrews chapter number 13 in verse number 1 and verse number 2. So let's just go ahead and stand as I give respect to the reading of the Word of God this evening. Let me just say this, that I didn't intend this message to be very long. I wasn't particularly sure how my voice would hold out if I'd be able to even stand in front of you and preach after hardly being able to talk yesterday and the day before, but God surely is good. So you pray for me, and I surely have been praying for you. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Let brotherly love continue." Just think about that for a moment. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these two verses here in Hebrews chapter number 13. And Father, I pray as we would dive into these verses, Father, and we dissect them and diagram them, so to speak, Father, that we would learn some great truths about entertaining strangers. Oh, Father, I pray that as we would think about entertaining, Father, not in the world sense of entertaining, Father, but really in the sense of fellowshipping one with another, I pray, Father, that you begin to burden your people, Father, for this good old-fashioned means of reaching out to people by inviting them over for a meal, by inviting them over for a coffee and a dessert, Father, where you can just fellowship together. And, oh, Father, in the yesteryears, Father, that's the normal thing to do. But, Father, now it's really not what we do. But, Father, we have this admonition, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful, entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Oh, Father, I pray that you would help us to be and follow this example from the Apostle Paul. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews specifically deals with the interaction of God's people inside the local New Testament church. In the Old Testament, or we could say under the Old Covenant, everything was about the tabernacle, everything was about the temple, and basically you were an individual. You went and offered your sacrifice, and then you left. You came back again the next day, offered another sacrifice, and then you left. And even though you might have gathered together to some degree, particularly on the high holy feast days that the nation of Israel would gather together to worship, it wasn't like the local church we have today. It wasn't like this local called out assembly of believers that gather together week in and week out to worship together. I think that most Christians really would have to say that they probably never heard of a message, particularly just from this passage of Scripture and Hebrews 13, verses 1 and verse number 2. These two verses kind of maybe just mentioned, lightly covered, but I've never heard of a message that's been preached just on these two verses. But I think it's a message that's needful for us today. I think it's a message for you, and it's a message for us. And we like to liken ourselves to be a friendly church. And I think if we're going to uphold that reputation, we're going to have to heed these two admonitions from Paul in verse number 1 and verse number 2 of let brotherly love continue, and then be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And so we'll look at that. I think this is the way that we can help an understanding of each other here at Sharon Baptist Church. So as we would think about that, notice first of all in verse number 1, notice this, that love is to continue. Love is to continue. So verse number 1, Paul says, let brotherly love continue. Notice the word. We find that Paul is writing to the Hebrews, and he used the ancient Greek language for the word love it parses out as the word for Philadelphia. So he assumed that there was brotherly love. That's what the city of Philadelphia means, a city of brotherly love. You ever been there, you'd think there's not much brotherly love going on. But when William Penn founded that, he was a Quaker, and he named it Philadelphia after the Greek word for a love here. And so it's called Philadelphia. And so we find that he assumed that brotherly love was already there. Because notice he says, let brotherly love continue. For something to continue, it must already be there. And as I read that verse, I came to understand that, hey, Paul's telling them to continue to do something that they're already doing. The first thought that popped in my mind was simply this, that Paul must not have been writing to a Baptist church, amen, because that's not oftentimes found in Baptist churches. Brotherly love is not found. I just hate to tell you that, and our church is kind of an exception to that, but I thank God that he says, let brotherly love to continue. And he asks that, and he asks those that are reading this letter that he has written, he's saying, let that love that God has given you, and that's manifest to the Lord Jesus Christ, let it continue to be with you, let it continue among you. You know, love for other Christians ought to be a natural outcome after we're saved. You don't have to work up this thing to try to love somebody. It ought to be a natural response to what Jesus Christ has done for you, because his love is shed abroad inside of our heart. That ancient Greek word speaks of a brotherly friendship and affection. It's a love of a deep, abiding friendship and a partnership. You know, there should always be plenty of this kind of love among Christians, and it should continue. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22, he says this, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, and notice these next words, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So Peter writing, he says that our love for the brethren ought to be an unfeigned love. That word unfeigned means sincere. It means without hypocrisy. That means this, saying, I love you, brother, but in your heart, you're saying, boy, you're a scoundrel. I wish you would go away or do something else. Paul says, don't have that kind of love. Peter says, that's not the kind of love that we ought to have. It ought to be sincere without hypocrisy. And then he uses this term with a pure heart fervently. So we think of fervency, we ought to think of earnestly, we ought to think of intently. So it ought to be something that we concentrate our mind upon. That's the kind of love that is to continue. Well, we find love is to continue, and we notice the word, but then notice something else as a result of the word. Notice our witness, our witness. Our love for other Christians shows unbelievers that you and I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are following him. In John chapter 13 and verse number 35, we find these wonderful words. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us and teaching his disciples at that time that this is how others can know that you love me, is because you have love for others or love for the brethren. Our love for Christians is also evidence that we have been born again. In 1 John, in chapter 3, in verse 14, John writes this, and we know that we have passed from death unto life because we, notice the word, love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And so because of this word of love and this word of Philadelphia, of having that brotherly and sisterly type of love among family members, it ought to be evidenced in our life. And people should look at our life and say there's something different about them because they have this kind of love. So let me ask you this question this evening. What does your love show the brethren? What does your love show the brethren? Does it show a deep, abiding friendship or an affection? Or does it manifest in a witness that you've been born again? I hope and I pray that it does. If not, why don't you speak to the Lord about it, excuse me, this evening, and ask him why you don't have that deep, abiding type of love in your life. Well, not only is love to continue, but notice secondly, don't be forgetful. Don't be forgetful. Don't be forgetful to what, Pastor? Well, notice the first part of verse number 2. It says that you're not to be forgetful to entertain strangers. We're commanded to not be neglectful or not be forgetful to entertain or to show hospitality to other people. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 in verse 13, when speaking about the marks of a true Christian, he said that we are to be, that we are to be practicing hospitality. If you think about it, hospitality was very important in New Testament times. It was a ministry that helped spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did it help spread the gospel, it strengthened those early local New Testament believers. And because of the persecution of Christians, many believers were forced to leave their homes. And so hospitable Christians and hospitable believers, many had to leave their homes. But we find that they helped or they assisted those families that were suffering by allowing them to come into their home. There were preachers that would travel from town to town preaching the gospel and winning the lost. Hospitable Christians gave these preachers a place to rest and food to eat. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 3 John, verse 5 through verse number 8. And I need someone to read that for me. 3 John, verse 5 and verse 8. And who would read that for the pastor this evening? All right, Jonathan. Amen. So we find then that pastors and disciples and preachers and teachers of God's word would go from town to town preaching the gospel. And here we find that John's writing, he's simply saying this: listen, we ought to lift them up. We ought to take care of them as they journey around and preach the truth of God's word. I know we live in a different day and age than them, and even than earlier times in America. But there was a time when no missionary would ever have to stay in a hotel by himself. Now I know today we kind of prefer to be by ourselves, but homes were opened up and wives would cook, and no matter if they had, you know, five kids or three kids and whatever they were traveling with, people would love to have a missionary or a guest preacher. Sometimes just like pulling teeth to have someone cook a meal for an evangelist, and the church is forced to take them out. Now, we don't mind taking them out, but listen, the blessing that you're missing by not having the evangelist in your home or cook a meal here at the church is something that you will not know of by not having them there. And what a great blessing it is. I can remember our boys, they would always look forward to having an evangelist over for dinner at our house. The missionary was come by before service or after service for a time of fellowship, and we get to meet their children and get to speak with them. What a wonderful time that was, and my boys look forward to that. Well, we find also that open homes would allow these preachers to do more for the Lord and really to cut down on their expenses of preaching the gospel, because if they weren't staying in a Christian home, the money that churches had given them to go preach the gospel would have to be used to pay for an inn where they would stay. I think of this as well, that traveling Christians that were poor could not always afford to stay in inns. And so many of them, guess where they would stay? They would stay in the home where churches met. So instead of going to the internet and looking where the Holiday Inn Express is, you would look, where's the church meeting in Hampton Roads, Virginia? And you would go to that place, where the churches met at. They would oftentimes put other traveling Christians up. You say, why would they do that? Because we find here that Paul is telling us, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful, entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And so they would meet there. Also, they would put meat and stay in people's home because hospitality was offered in these Christian homes where the churches were met. Was because the inns or the hotels or motels of their day were very terrible places. They were ruined by pagan practices. Prostitution was rampant. They were the hub oftentimes of all the dark criminal activities in that part of town. Besides that, if they knew you were from out of town, they'd charge you an arm and a leg, and usually they were filthy. Kind of like one time we went on a little road trip with some people from church, and we were going to stay at a Comfort Inn, and they're not always the best, you know. Back in the day, they probably were, but a lot of days have gone by, and we're going to stay in a Comfort Inn, and we said, well, okay, you know, someone else made the reservation. It was cheap. I tell you what, it was pretty cheap. And so we go in and into our room, and I'm looking around, and first the smell gets you. I'm looking around like this was from like 1960 decor, and it's right outside the Roanoke Civic Arena. So, you know, it's probably not always the best place you want to stay. A lot of partying goes on in that area. And so Dinah says, don't touch anything. Don't touch anything. I said, you want me to get the luggage? She says, no. She said, well, just bring in just what we need. I said, okay. And so she said, don't take your socks off. Keep your shoes on. I said, well, what am I going to do? She said, just put your shoes on and go to the bathroom and put your shoes back on and don't put nothing on the floor. And so we're laying in bed. We look to our left. And I would say this, but, you know, it's let your nays be nay and your yays be yay. But if I'm lying, I'm dying. It looked like a blood splatter on the wall right beside our bed. And we're laying in bed looking. The lights are all on. Donna says, look over there. I looked over there. She says, what do you think that is? I'm like, oh, somebody spilled their drink. I was not going to tell her. I did think that someone's body or head exploded on that wall. That's what it looked like. And she said, Don't turn the lights off. We're sleeping with the lights on in this place. We're not the only one. It's like 4 o'clock. We somehow stumble in our stupor. We didn't really sleep. We got out to the car and we text other people. We'll meet you at the next Cracker Barrel, whatever it is. We'll be at that exit whenever you guys get up. And so we did that. And they came to the Cracker Barrel. We weren't in a hurry. We waited for them. Eventually, everyone got there. And this person said, you know what? We thought our door was locked all night. But our door doesn't even lock. It never was locked all night long. I'm just saying, that's the kind of places these places were. They were dirty and they were nasty. And they charge an arm and a leg in their hub of criminal activity. So listen, so next time I'm coming through Hampton Roads, I'm going to look you up and say, can I stay at your house, amen? That's what they used to do, amen. So Paul was really just reminding them in chapter 13 and verses number 1 and 2 not to forget that they are to entertain strangers. And we might even say this, although Paul doesn't say these specific words, I do believe that this was his intent, that he was saying it's your Christian duty to do that. So we see that he reminds them not to forget to entertain strangers, but then notice something else in the second part of the verse. He reminds them they may have entertained some strangers that notice that were angels unaware in the second part of the verse. He said, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now when you look through your Old Testament, you'll find several examples of people who did not know that they were showing hospitality to angels. I think Abraham in Genesis 18 would include that. Lot in Genesis 19, Gideon in Judges chapter 6, and Manoah in Judges chapter number 13. And just because it happened to them doesn't mean an angel is going to come and you're going to minister to them unawares. But let me put this forth to you that it is possible. There are many things that took place during some what we call transitional periods of the Bible that were just temporary things. They did it for a season, then God stopped them forever. And to give you an idea of these temporary things in these transitional periods, we look at the sign gifts of the early church. And they definitely was the gift of tongues. And there was prophecy and there was healing. And that's just to name a few. And understand this evening that entertaining strangers and the possibility of them being angels is not transitional. Nowhere in the Bible can I find where God has says that was a thing in the past, But now it is not to be. There were times in the Bible when angels were sent out in human forms. They were sent out from God on a mission from God. But there is no place in the Bible where God says, I'm going to stop doing that. And I'm sure that there's still the possibility of you and I encountering an angel in our day and age. But understand this, probably if that has ever happened to you or it will happen to you, you're not going to have the knowledge of it because you're going to entertain the angels unaware. And when we do entertain strangers, or we do entertain angels unaware, when we do that in obedience to Christ, guess what? He's going to count it as reward, as though we have done it just for him. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. I need someone to read verses 35 through verse number 37, and then verses 38 through verse number 40. Matthew 25, 35 through 37, please, for the pastor. And then someone to read 39 and 40. Who would do that? All right, Diana, you read first. And who would read 39 and 40? Anybody tonight? John? Okay, thank you. John. All right, so here we have the Lord picturing, and they said to the Lord, well, when do we see you hungry? When were you destitute? When were you poor? And then we find the Lord saying, the king, inasmuch as you have done unto the least of these brethren, you have done it unto me. And so as we entertain strangers, understand this, that it might not be for the Lord himself specifically that we're doing it for, but in all reality, it really is. Because we do it for one of these, we're doing it unto him. Well, not only is love to continue and don't be forgetful to entertain strangers, but notice lastly, let's apply these truths to our life. Understand this evening that the practice of hospitality is required by God. Let me just repeat that again so you understand it. The practice of hospitality is required by God. You say, well, who's it required for? Am I one of the required ones? Well, first of all, it's required for church leaders. In 1 Timothy 3:2, the Bible says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. That don't mean one at a time, by the way, just to let you know. I'm sure you already understand that. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, and notice this, given to hospitality and apt to teach. You know, if you were to look up 1 Timothy 3:2 in your commentary, most commentators, they write about being blameless. They write this idea of the husband of one wife. They write about being vigilant. They write about being sober. They write about being good behavior. They write about being apt to teach. But a lot of them, and most every one of them, leaves out this idea of really expounding on this idea of being given to hospitality. But understand this, that if you're a leader inside a local New Testament church, specifically in this context, speaking of the pastors and the pastoral staff, listen, we ought to be given to hospitality. But you say, phew, good, because that's not really what I'm into. I don't want nobody in my home. I don't want nobody to come by. I can't cook. I can't do anything. Well, we find this as well. It's also required for all believers. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:9. He's writing in really the light of the Lord's soon return. This is what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. He says, do it without grumbling. Do it without complaining. So when the pastor says we need to have somebody to cook a meal for a missionary during the missions conference, and you say, oh, I know what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do. I don't want a pastor to think bad about me. Listen, that's what he's saying. And so we find it's for church leaders. It's required for all believers. So listen, who is to open their homes? Me, our staff, and you all believers are to open their homes. And it's quite contrary to society today to open up your homes. just this past summer, we were blessed to have Mark and Anna's, both of their mothers, came to visit them, and they were going to stay in the mission house, but the mission house was under renovation, and so I checked with the boss. You know, you always got to do that first so you don't get in trouble, man. And I said, what do you think? Let's have Anna's parents, Mark and Anna's parents, stay with. She said, that'd be wonderful. You know what? And so, I was gone. I went to visit my mother, and Diana was there, and they had a wonderful time of fellowship. You know, but you know what? Some of her friends at work are like, you crazy? Do you know these people? No, I don't know them at all. But, you know, they're mothers of two of our church members, and I guess they're trustworthy. And they're, what, aren't you worried about your house? What if they leave the lights on or burn it down? Well, that's up to the Lord. It's not really our house. It's His house. And then they can't understand why we would do that. Why would we open up our home and allow, you know, at Christmas time or New Year's to have 60, 70 people just permeating our house? Why would we do that? Because God requires it of us, and we love doing it. It's one of the gifts that Dinah has, this gift of hospitality. And so, you know, whether you really want to or not, and whether you enjoy it or not, we find that it is a responsibility to do that as well. And so when we think about that Greek word for hospitality, it literally translates this way, love for strangers. The word given in 1 Timothy 3:2, where it says that bishops are to be given to her, the hospitality is a really strong word, and it comes from a root word in the Greek that gives us this idea to flee after. And it sometimes it's translated from the root word persecute, as found in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 14. And the idea is simply this, that we are to pursue people who don't know hospitality. You see, when we think about it, we're to follow after them. We are to press towards them, people who you do not know the way that they should. You see, that's really love in action. It's more than just saying love is a feeling. When you have somebody over to your house you don't really know, you think, what are we going to talk about? Well, you just talk about the Lord. If they're Christian and you're a Christian, that's one thing you have in common. Just talk about the Lord and trust the Lord. The point was that simply that we are to do this towards other Christians who are strangers to us. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor Carroll, who's the stranger? I'm not going to, you know, ask the guy holding the sign up there on the highway to come to my house for dinner. I'm not asking you to do that. That's not the context. It says, let brotherly love continue. He's writing to Christians. So a stranger is someone that you don't know. You might see them, but you don't know them, or you don't know them very well. But guess what? They're known to God. That's who a stranger is. And so maybe some of those people that ride the van, maybe they're strangers to you. Maybe that one that sits beside you that comes Sunday morning only. I think of a dear saint lady right over here. She's a stranger. We might know her, but not really much about her. That would be someone who I think fits this category of let brother love continue, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. It's showing our love for Christ through this area of hospitality. If you think about this, if you invite your best friend over for lunch, that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, you ought to do that. But it's not fulfilling this command. You know, and if you invite the pastor over, that's a wonderful thing. But I don't think that's what this verse is talking about. It's talking about people who we see that we know just a little bit, but we don't really know. It's talking about the visitor that comes to church time and time again, but yet never really seems to assume into the church. I think that's what we're talking about. A wonderful way to fulfill this command is by our visitors or by those who are lonely of heart, maybe those who are shut-ins. That's what I think really this term stranger is speaking about. And a wonderful way that we can fulfill this command is to meet and befriend strangers at church and then entertain them with hospitality. Well, the Bible says, let brotherly love continue in verse number 1. And in verse 2, it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I want everybody to look at Hebrews 6 and verse 10. I'll give you a second to get there. Hebrews 6 and verse number 10, and then we'll be done. Hebrews 6 and verse number 10. Someone has found it. Who would read that for the pastor? June, thank you. You know what, as I read this verse in Hebrews 6 and verse number 10, I sometimes, this thought has come to my mind. Sometimes we may have fear that God's going to forget our work and labor of love that we do for him. But you know what, if we think that, is God really going to remember? Is God really going to know? I'm doing this, a cup of cold water you give to them, you're doing it for the, you're doing it as unto the Lord. Is he really going to remember that? And I think, you know what that comes from? That's because we rely too much on the attention and the applause of people. You know, and we want people to see us, and we want people to say, good job, boy, you did a wonderful job. You know, thank you for doing that. Thank you for that ministry, instead of just relying on the Lord. It's true that some people may forget your work and labor of love. They will forget it. I promise you that. Understand this, that God never will forget your work and labor of love. I basically said all that just to get to this point. Let's not be strangers here at Sharon Baptist Church. Let brotherly love continue. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, and we do thank you for the precious truths found in your word. Oh, Father, I pray, and I'm so thankful that brotherly love is here at Sharon Baptist Church. But, oh, Father, if we're not careful, it will not continue. So, Father, I do pray you would help us in this area of hospitality. And Lord, inviting those strangers amongst us, Father, to come over to our house for a cup of coffee or a donut or maybe even a meal, Father, whatever the talents and the skills of the person, the family doing the inviting. Maybe, Lord, it's just a pizza late Friday night and a game, a family game. I don't know what it is, Father, but I pray you would help us to be more involved in this area of hospitality. Oh, Father, I pray that even as we do this, Father, the Bible does say that sometime we might do it entertaining strangers, Father, it might be angels unaware. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Father. Help us to keep brotherly love here at Sharon Baptist Church, and help us, Father, to exercise this work of hospitality here at our church. So, Father, we do love you and we do thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory through our lives, Father, as we reflect the light and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we do it unto them, Father, we know that it's recorded and will be rewarded as we do it unto them as unto you. So, Father, keep this in our remembrance, Father. Let us not forget it, because you'll never forget what we do for you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to our